On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Dallas Lopez of the Chicago Cubs organization. Dallas, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. My name is Dallas Lopez. I'm about to start my fifth year with Chicago Cubs. I've been at strength and conditioning in baseball now for that whole time. It's the only organization I've been with. I have a little background in football, college football, strength and conditioning. A little different from baseball, but it's something you just got to hit with the ground running, and I'm enjoying it a lot.
You prefer baseball or football? Be honest with me.
Well, as an athlete, I preferred football.
Of course.
But I like coaching baseball and how many different – it's a very unilateral, non-balanced sport, man. There's a lot of different ways we have to be able to adjust for that other strength coaches and other disciplines don't get to do.
Yeah, it's definitely a very unique game, a lot of unique demands, and it's fun to be a strength coach in it. And I mean, I know football, sometimes it's like that meat and potatoes, you know, get big, lift big, but there is that side of baseball that we all like, even the meatheads like ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll find those in baseball too, just not frequently. And even the people too, the players I meet, I got people from all over the world. It's a unique experience you don't get in any other sport.
For sure, and one of the cool things that you got to do and where we met was you just finished up working the Arizona Fall League, and so I've had maybe one or two guests on here talk about the Fall League, and so I want you to kind of go into what your role was there, maybe what a day in the life looks like for you during the Fall League, and then any lessons that you took that will help you in the future.
Yeah, so the Fall League is unique because you have to take philosophy from about five different organizations, not just your own. And me being a guy that's been with the same organization for 5 years now, it's kind of a breath of fresh air to see different outlooks on off-season training, because the Fall League is the start of the off-season, even though those kids are playing every day, so it hasn't really revved up yet for those guys. But I have to be in charge of applicating that to what their staffs over at their organization wants. And I mean, the day looks like first pitchers, I got to make sure they're all doing their conditioning regimen that their strength coaches have set aside. And I have to take care of my own guys as well, because they're all priority guys in the Fall League. So you kind of got to take special care of each one of them and make sure they're getting the attention they need and not straying off track from what their goals are and what their organization's goals that they have for them are. And so you stay pretty busy, but it's more hands-off than you'd think, even though I just said it was pretty important to watch them all, because you just kind of let them do their thing, man. They're coming into their own, and it's a awesome setup with the players you got. They're all at that age. They've been in pro ball for a few years. They know what they need to do to get ready to play every day. So it's kind of just a joy for me to sit back and guide them more than just be a full-on coach like I am the rest of the season with my young players.
Yeah, when I worked it back in 16, it sounds weird the way you say it, but it's so true. Like, everybody there is a priority guy and they all have specific needs, but at the same time, all of those guys are like the guys that are on top of their routines and they know what to do. And so you have to be hands-on in the sense that they need your help because they're priority guys, but they're hands-off because they know what to do. They come into the weight room, hey, I got this routine from my coordinator. I know what I have to do. You know, can you help me with this a little bit? And that's kind of where you come in. But big picture, it was like these guys come in and it was fun because they all know what they need to do and they all know that if they do it, it's going to make them get better.
Yeah, so as far as the weight room went, they did know because they have all their own programs for the off season, their sets, their reps, all the exercises laid out for them that their coaches made for them. And I had talked to all their strength coordinators beforehand and was told exactly what they're going to be doing. So these guys, a lot of time they have questions and they like to get different feedback from people outside of their own organization too, because a lot of them have came up in that one. You know, they haven't been playing for years and years. They're not veterans by any means, but it's kind of unique with that different conversations with other guys, you know.
Yeah, the different organizations kind of blending all together is cool, and being able to see those other philosophies from other strength coaches and other organizations as the strength coach at the Fall League yourself is also cool. I thought that was like one of the best parts of being there was just being able to see, how other organizations are doing it, and then kind of create some thoughts in my mind, and get some thoughts with some of the guys that were there, like, hey, you guys do this? Do you like this? Do you like that? So that in the future, okay, if these guys really like this, maybe I could use that for myself, or some of the athletes I work with.
Exactly. And you see a lot of the things that are common within the different orgs and how, one thing works because for my team, four of our five teams we had this pretty similar outlook and philosophy on their programs that we at the Cubs do. There was this, like, I'm not going to name any teams, but like there's one that kind of diversified a lot away from what the norm was, what we would think it would be. But it's interesting how they bring guys in that have what they think will work and put them ahead of the other 29 teams. And how we're all competing together, but for that short 6 weeks, we're all kind of on one separate team. So we're kind of outside of the rest of baseball.
Yeah, it's a unique setting and experience, and especially when the World Series is over and you're the only ones like actually playing baseball still, and all the guys are coming in and they're like, well, even the big leagues are done. Like, do we still have to do this stuff? Like, yes, we still have to do this. This is a very good opportunity for you, and most of them take full advantage of it and see the opportunity that they have in front of them.
Exactly. And yeah, you're right. By about the 5th and 6th weeks, all my players just wanted to be home. They miss their families. They've been playing baseball since February and they're kind of tired of it. And they're just not tired of it mentally, but their bodies are tired too, which is even a more important reason why I had to force some guys to get in the weight room at least twice a week because we can't have them injured in fall league. And that's, I think, the biggest goal is not getting other guys hurt and make sure they're staying on top of their own programs.
Right. So, like we talk about, it is a unique experience for you yourself as a strength coach. And are there any lessons that you took from there that you think will help you in the future in professional baseball?
Absolutely. You just got to keep your own mind because every athlete's different. I mean, all different kind of body types and builds and athletic abilities and even the positions you got to play in baseball. What your outfielders and like a first baseman are doing is way different than what a pitcher has to do, especially in season. So, I mean, you just got to keep an open mind to what those guys give you back as much as what your knowledge you're trying to instill upon them to make them successful.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was very valuable for me. Just like I said, being able to see other organizations, and the thing is, you get to be around those guys so much that when you see them at your affiliate in the season coming up, they remember you, and they're like, they come over, say hello, and it's just a good feeling for them to come say hello to you and remember that you helped them, and they didn't get hurt, which is a huge thing. Like you said, the last thing you want is, first, second week in November when the fall league's winding down, somebody gets hurt and then they're screwed out of their off season. So, a lot of those guys really do appreciate it. Sometimes it's hard to see because it is so late in the year and they're still playing baseball and they're grumpy. But I'm sure when you see them, in the future, they'll remember you and have good things. And I'm sure it'll create a lot of good relationships for you for the future.
Exactly. And those guys, we're going to see them playing for years to come because they're all pretty talented, important guys. So they have a lot of value to them, which makes the position of being the strength coach in the fall league pretty valuable as well.
Yeah, it's a fun time overall, and you're in Arizona too, which I mean, there's definitely worse places in the world than being in Arizona. And overall, it's a very good experience. And if any strength coaches in the future get offered an opportunity, at least for me, I would recommend that they take that opportunity.
As would I agree.
So, what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
Well, without being too sports specific here, I think just a lot of people can agree with this part, with the mentality being the most important thing going into a workout and what your goals are. Setting goals is a really important thing. But I believe that, like, if you got to go into it, you got to do it 100%. Like, I'm not saying I don't believe in recovery days. Those are valuable, but you got to know when to do them. Some guys think, oh, I'm just going to listen to my body too much. But honestly, with this new age of athletes, I believe they need to push themselves harder, which I understand when everyone has a check next to them in pro sports, that's a little bit of a gray area between you and your front office. But I think you need to be able to push the guys. And if you got a front office that gives you the freedom to do that, then that's a very special opportunity that you have as a strength coach.
Yeah, I was just getting some reading done before we got on here, and it's weird that you bring it up because in the book they were just talking about that, like, yeah, some days guys might not feel 100%, but like they still need to be pushed and they still need to work hard on a given day. Like if it's a recovery day, it's a recovery day, but sometimes there are those days where you don't feel great when you come in, but you still have to get the work done and you have to go at it with 100% of whatever that day's 100% is. It might be 50% of your best, but you need 100% of that 50%.
Because, I mean, they say, you know, less gains, whatever. But if you make a constant habit of giving 100% and pushing yourself to that exhaustion and failure, and you do it so many times, you're going to gain so much more out of your work than you would if you just kind of try to play it safe most of the time. And I know a lot of sports are becoming that way because you can't spend time off the field. But the off season right now is when you need to be doing that kind of stuff. Like, run till you get sick. Run till you, like, push yourself some days to where you don't think you can push yourself. And that says a lot about you as an athlete. And I'm not trying to do the whole rah, rah, Rocky thing, but, like, sometimes you need that. Even if it's in a sport like baseball where it's not just sprint, sprint, sprint for hours, you know?
Yeah, and coming from a football background, I'm sure you've had quite a few of those workouts in your playing days.
Workouts where you just, while you're in it, you don't even want to live anymore, but by the time you're done, you're so exhausted that you're like, yeah, I'm getting better from this. Like, I can buy into that.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was like, think about the hardest workout you've ever had. And, like, when you look back on it, it never is as bad as it was in that moment. Like, when you're in the moment, you're like, this is the worst. I'm not going to make it. And then, like, a week later, you're like, eh, maybe it really wasn't that bad. So, like, when you're in those workouts, like, pushing through that is so vital. I agree 100%. It speaks a lot about who you are and what you have inside of you. And if you can just push that a little bit and get through it, I think it goes a long way.
Exactly.
So what do you believe makes a strength and conditioning coach successful? Maybe in general and then more specifically in professional baseball.
Well, the one thing that would make you successful, or actually more so if you don't have it, prevent you from being successful, is having that relationship with your players to where they respect you and what you're doing, and they respect you as a person to where they can actually buy into what you're trying to teach them. Like, I've seen some strength coaches kind of lose their players because they try to force them to do stuff they don't want, and they need to do that stuff, but you got to figure out a way into that outlet because all the players are different. Like, I have mentalities that are different from my first round draft pick than from my young Latin kids and how about they go about their work ethic. And if you can't influence their work ethic so where they're staying positive, you lose them and they won't ever drive themselves in the way that you want and do the correct things that you're trying to make them do to be successful. So more so than just the knowledge and things you teach them as far as your discipline, strength and conditioning and how to do different phases and plug in all the exercises for them, because they don't know that, you got to have a relationship with them, and that's the most important thing. If you don't have that, you can't be a successful strength coach, no matter how much you know about the field.
Yeah, especially with today's athletes, I think that relationship and that buy-in piece to you as an individual is so vital nowadays.
Exactly. Sometimes I sit back and think, like, almost I'm a glorified babysitter, but I'm a lot more valuable than that because of what I know and how I can make these players into men and successful athletes. But you got to be able to talk to them. You got to be able to be their friend. Like, we're in one of the most personable positions on the baseball field. They need trainers. They need coaches. It's a luxury for them to have us. And sometimes we're kind of that segue between on the field and, like, off the field, but still doing their job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, man. And like we said, I mean, back in my day, and I'm sure it was the same for you, like, if you didn't like a coach, it didn't matter. You did what they said. But nowadays, it's different with these guys coming up, and you got to be able to have that relationship. And if they look at you as somebody they like and they trust, they'll do just about anything for you. And if they don't, they won't. That's how it is.
I've gotten players to do things they don't like just because of the relationship I previously built with them, which goes a long way.
Yeah, agree completely. What advice do you have for others in the field? Maybe young coaches looking to get into to the field, or maybe older coaches who have been around for a while who just want to stay on top of things.
Basically, just always be willing to learn. Like, we're in a constantly developing, I guess, field of practice, and you always got to broaden your scope of practice and become an expert in a bunch of different things. So, con eds and all these different doctors that come in and try to teach you how to make your athletes better at what they do, you got to go in 100% on those, because the more you learn and the more you stay up to date with the newest research and newest kind of philosophy out there, the longer you'll stay in the game and get to do what you like to do. So, and I know a lot of organizations have, like, they kind of pave the way for you because you got to put in the what you're interested in, and those con eds, they'll, like, seminars will put you through multiple in a year, at least how we do at the Cubs. And we've learned a lot of interesting things, and a lot of them have conflicting ideologies of how to develop that. And it's kind of interesting because you get to take apart which parts you like and kind of form your own philosophy. And I'd say just keep making your own ideas and philosophies, but at the same time, learn what's proven and what's out there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, man. And it's funny too, like you mentioned, sometimes the ideas actually clash, but when you take a little bit from both, it makes like this super idea, so to speak. So I agree 100%. And kind of along those lines, where are you going for continuing ed? Are you reading books? Are you attending seminars? Are you listening to podcasts? Where are you going to stay on top of that?
The majority of my con ed, it goes to going to seminars or watching them, videos, and the ones that come in, we'll have doctors come in and do like the NASM or the functional mobility stuff and all these guys. Basically, what we've been doing the last couple of years is pertains more to how everything has to be quantifiable now that sports science has come to such fruition in our field that everyone wants numbers on everything, and there's a ton of different technologies that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we have to invest in those things and figure out what we can do the most with. And so most of our con eds the last couple of years has been coming to learn how to administer different tests and take in these numbers and kind of interpret what they mean. And we've also done, the ones that you learn corrective exercises and performance enhancement, like the PESCS. We've done all those, and I'd say more recently it's all the numbers, man. It's we know what we're doing. We just got to be able to interpret it and kind of take what the most important things we can gather are and try to get players to improve their abilities to, like, force outputs. We have this thing called the 1080 sprint that we just learned how to use this last year, and that was a con ed. And it can track your step frequency, the amount of force you're losing with an improper gait, and basically all the numbers are given for you. You just got to learn how to make the players fix little things in their running form to give themselves the fastest, most powerful output. And working with that technology is just as important these days as actually knowing why you're doing it.
Yeah, 100%. And like you said, you got to stay on top of the stuff, stay up to date. And honestly, that's the up to date stuff nowadays is the technology and all the numbers and all the data and everything. So if you're not buying into that 100%, like you said, you're going to be left behind.
Yeah, the day of just writing programs and getting guys to work out is no more. It's been gone for years, and it's kind of, it goes back to just needing to keep learning stuff. There's always new stuff coming out, and things that are, I guess, accredited to have a lot of validity and correlation with injured players or healthy players or good players and bad players. Like TPI, the Titleist Institute, has a whole baseball academy now where they look at all the movements like they did for golf years ago, and they can just go ahead and say, okay, this is most commonly the best swing or the best throwing motion that the majority of longevity Hall of Fame pitchers have had. And so they try to create a perfect movement, which you can't do normally because players are different. They all have different swings, different throwing motions. But in a way, it's kind of cool to look at that and look at the amount of research they put into that. And you can take from that what you want and kind of instill this on your players, or who, which, pick which players you think can benefit from those certain things.
Yeah, there's kind of two ways to go about it, right? Like you're presented with a new idea and you either just discard it completely or you at least give it a try, formulate your own thoughts, and then you discard it or you keep it to yourself. And so when that new stuff comes in like that, I mean, it can't hurt you to at least look at it and formulate your own thoughts.
Absolutely. If it's been proven to have some sort of benefits, then you got to give it a chance. And if you don't like it or you don't see much that your players are getting from it, I mean, you can choose what to do with it from there. But that's why we do so many different things.
Yeah, and your players are probably going to be seeing it as well online. So if they come to you with questions about it, it's better to at least have read something.
Absolutely. We have players that go to people all over the nation in the off season, and they come to us saying, "What do you think about this?" And most of the time, I've read into it or heard about the people they're going to, and I can tell them my opinions and they can do what they want with it.
Right. So I'd like to do a lightning round with you. You got time for me?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. First one, who is your biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning?
Honestly, I would probably say my college strength coach till this day. I mean, I played football, so it wasn't in the classroom setting where I had my interactions with him, but he taught me a lot about how to properly phase an off season, how to get stronger, and different things I need to do to complement one goal. And his name's Todd Berner. He was my strength coach when I was at Northern State University. And he's a big Olympic lifting guy, which I never got exposed to in high school when I was growing up, but I learned to see a lot of benefits from that, and there could be a huge, he made a huge impact on the way I looked at strength and conditioning in general.
For
So it
sure.
was on in my career before I was a certified strength and conditioning coach, but that I still look at that as the days where I learned the most.
Yeah, you can learn a lot in the weight room, and especially with somebody who knows what they're doing, there's a lot of good life lessons that you can learn. So,
Absolutely.
one piece of equipment to train with, what would you choose?
Barbell and a platform. Can that be one?
Yeah, that's a combo. That comes as a combo.
Okay, there goes my Olympic lifting bias there.
biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Biggest accomplishment. It's not one certain thing I accomplished. I'd say the ways the Cubs can plug me into their system. I mean, I'm bilingual. I speak Spanish. I'm used as a liaison back in our Dominican Academy to back here. And I think just being that extra tool to my staff has been probably one of my most valuable, best accomplishments.
I'll make sure that your wife doesn't hear that you didn't mention her at all on this one.
Oh, well, I mean, I thought that was a given, so I don't. No, we were pertaining to my career.
Fair enough. Any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
Honestly, I'm gonna have to go away from coaching if I'm not doing this, and I'd say I'd be a lawyer. I was considering law school for a while. My brother's in law school right now in Wyoming, enjoying a lot of it. I enjoyed that. That was one of my majors in college, so.
Specifically a sports lawyer or just a lawyer in general?
A lawyer in general, and that comes from a lot of bias I have with my father. He's been a law enforcement officer with the sheriff's department for 25 years, so probably more on the prosecution side. I know that's what my brother's trying to do too, but I'd say that'd be something I'd pursue if I didn't have this as an option of career.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate your time, man. If the listeners want to get in touch with you, get more info from you, where can we get more from you?
I'm not really present on social media. I don't have Facebook or anything like that, but I can just give you my email. Does that work?
Yeah, that works.
All right. It could be Dallas.Lopez@wolves.northern.edu. That's just my personal email that I still do a lot of business on, and my work one's a separate entity, but.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate your time, man, and we'll be catching up soon.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
All right, everybody, that concludes this episode with Dallas. I hope you enjoyed this one. It was really cool to hear his experience in the fall league and how he enjoyed that opportunity. Three things that I took from Dallas: keep an open mind, always work to build good relationships, and stay up to date with the most recent research. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.